friends, and welcome back to the Recoto Report, high school sports and hip-hop at Fox Sports, 1340 AM. I'm your host, Chad Recoto, and rolling with me today, as always, I got the best team in the business. Start with my main man, 50 grand, Mr. Rut Jigs Johnson.
Man, what it do, man? What's going on?
Man, I am ready because it's playoff football at the high school level, bro. We are over halfway into the NFL season. We got a ton to talk about. I'm excited about today. My man, WCAC insider Darrell Balknight, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good. I'm not as stuffed from Thanksgiving turkey as I anticipated, but I'm good.
We've had a couple of days to get over Thanksgiving dinner. I know I went to the gym twice yesterday, another time today. I got to get rid of those extra pounds that I might have put on. But Darrell, I know that your Thanksgiving may not have been as great as you would have liked for it to have been. Your Redskins, they lost, bro.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder. I watched it, now I'm hearing it all in New York, and now for you, it's fine.
Well, you're in New York. My Giants, they won this weekend, so that extends kind of the little bit of a cushion that we have between the two of us. Of course, we record on Monday night, so Rodney Jiggs' Eagles have not had an opportunity to play yet. Jiggs, just give me you have Green Bay tonight. By the time people hear this, it will have already gone down, but are you predicting victory or L for your Eagles?
I'm gonna predict a victory for the Eagles tonight, man. I think we can do it. I think Aaron Rodgers is not playing up to the potential. Matter of fact, the whole Green Bay Packers squad is not playing up to what they can do. So I like the Eagles to say, hey, we're hungry and we want to see some changes go on in this last half of the season, and maybe something good can happen for us.
And you know what? I would love to see that. You guys are the only team in the NFC East that I actually root for on occasion. And because I would love for nothing more than for the Redskins to kind of fall apart and to end up in last place. So I am definitely pulling for you all. Darrell, my Giants, winners of 6 games in a row. We are 8-3 right now. 5 games left. We have a very tough 5-game stretch here. I believe that we'll end up right around 10-6. I believe that we will make the playoffs. In your opinion, right now, today, are your Redskins a playoff team?
I think so. I think they're a playoff team.
You've lost 5 already, D.
What'd you say?
You've lost 5 already.
We've lost 4 and we've tied 1.
Oh, I counted that as a loss because you didn't win.
I know you did, but I mean, as of today, if the playoffs were to start today, which obviously they don't, we would be the 6th seed. And I think, you know, we have Arizona next Sunday. We have another road game after that. Then we have Carolina, Philly again, and the Giants again. But I think we can make a push to at least be in the hunt by season's end. And I think we can be a wild card team.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. Again, I hope more than anything else that doesn't happen. But we'll see about that. We'll see about that. Look, D, here's what I got to go to. Now, you know that me and Jiggs, we've been best friends for like 20-some-odd years. We're from down there in the 757. While you were watching your Redskins lose on Thanksgiving, both Rodney and I were down in the Hampton, Virginia area. Jiggs, I'm always astonished and happy to see all of the love that our hometown heroes get down there. That's, of course, Mr. Mike Vick, Mr. Allen Iverson. That kind of feels good to you as well, right?
No, definitely. It definitely feels good to hear, you know, just to hear other people post things on their feet. Even though we're separated from those guys a little bit, it feels good to see people post those things and to know that actual talent came up out of our area. And it kind of puts us on a world stage so that people can see some of what our story is, even though it may not be, you know, exactly the same. That is a part of us.
Now, one of the things is that, of course, being from down there, our town, our city, our area, we really put on for Mike Vick and Allen Iverson. We see them in high regard. We hold them in high regard, whereas a lot of the rest of the nation, maybe not so much. We're a show that talks a lot about role models, that talks a lot about people that do well and that have a positive effect and influence on the kids. I kind of got to ask you all a question. I was looking through those two guys and a few other guys. I don't have a child yet. D, I know you don't have a child yet, but I'm going to throw some names out there for you. And what I want to know is, out of these names, if you had a son, D, if I had a son, Jigs, you have a son, which of these guys would you be okay with and want for your son to be best friends with? You got that? That's a little confusing.
No, I got it.
Okay, okay. Look, I'm all about the kids here, bro. I'm all about the kids. All right. You got your pencil ready?
Let's go.
Okay. All right. So Mike Vick, we already got him, my main man, Atlanta quarterback, Philadelphia Eagle quarterback, Warwick alum, 757. Allen Iverson of the Philadelphia 76ers, and then his career just went downhill from there, so I won't even name the next four teams that he played for. Bethel High School alum, that's the school that me and Jigs went to. Then I'm going to flip it up on you right here. I put some thought into this. Kevin Durant. Former good guy, now turned villain, considered a little bit of a tyrant, a little bit of a traitor. Colin Kaepernick, the pseudo New Age Malcolm X. He seemed to have a really great cause, and then we had to kind of back off of that a little bit. Do you still love him? You love his intention? Charles Barkley, from down there in the South, young man who is outspoken but has a lot of realness to him. I kind of like Chuck. I don't want to tip my hand, but I like Chuck. And then finally, I'm going to go with Drake. I know Drake's not an athlete. I know he's not an athlete, but he talks a lot about athletics, man. And he's into hip-hop, and he has a bit of an influence on athletics. So that's that. How many? One, two, three. That's six guys. What three?
So you gave us five athletes and a cheerleader.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's the epitome of a bandwagoner.
I guess neither one of you are putting Drake in your favorite three there, huh? Okay, fine.
I'm gonna go ahead and spoil that and just say no, Chad.
Okay,
no.
Fine. Jigs, who you got?
So I'm gonna go with We'll see. I'm gonna start out with Mike Vick.
Okay.
I think, you know, and I'm not gonna go as far as to say best friends, but I'm gonna say somebody that I could see my son looking up to, or, you know, if he had somebody that could be influential in his life.
Okay.
Yeah, I say Mike Vick, because, you know, when we look at his career, and again, we all come from the same area. But, you know, Vic had a little rougher than we did. AI had a little rougher than we did.
Correct.
But coming up, being able to, you know, become, you know, make it to the top, the pinnacle of the sport in his position, black quarterback that, you know, the world, you know, never really looked up to black quarterbacks and never really held him in high regard. But for him to be in that position, and for every kid to want to be that guy. But I'll even take it beyond that. I'll take it to the fact that, you know, he did something wrong. He served his time for what he did. He came back out, and all he did is better himself. He set career records after he got out of the penitentiary. He was able to speak up for a cause that then became dear to his heart. After he saw the wrongs and what he participated in, you know, he's able to speak out about it. And he still has people that dislike him for the reason that he's already repented for, but he still continues to push forward. So I'll say, you know, Mike Vick for that. Then I think I'll roll with, of course, the other hometown here. We're going to go with AI, because, again, coming up from his tough beginning and able to make it to the top of what he's done, and going through the situation that he did with the bowling alley, having to deal with and learn about the racial society that we live in, because race played a lot in what happened with him. So he was able to overcome that, and then he come back out into the league and then be himself, show the league that it's okay for him to be himself. I mean, although there are times that I wish that, you know, maybe he toned down a little bit.
Maybe he wasn't all of himself.
Yeah, right. So maybe he would just, you know, tone down just a little bit, but still the fact that he was able to step out there, be himself, and show that he can still perform at this great level and still be who he is, you know, I think that's a good example for the kids as well. The final one.
You're thinking about Drake, aren't you?
Never that.
Okay.
Never
that. All right.
Am I thinking about Drake? Man, I'm at a crossroads between Kevin Durant and Colin Kaepernick. I don't know much of Kevin Durant's backstory. I mean, I know, I believe he came up single mother.
Single mother? You the real MVPs from up here in Maryland? Right. Where'd he play? D at Montrose Academy?
Montrose, yeah. He did a couple of years there. Went to Texas after that.
Right. But, you know, and despite what, you know, Colin Kaepernick's lack of following through with what I think that he should have done as far as voting after taking this stance against police brutality, I'm going to go ahead and stick with Colin Kaepernick.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. And here's why I'm going to do that. It's because this is a young man who, he was adopted when he was younger.
Right.
Grew up with a family that looked different from him.
Correct, correct. However
he may have been raised during that time, he still became a man. He still found another part of his identity. And once he found out that particular part of his identity wasn't being treated fairly, he stood up and spoke out about it. And of course, I'm talking about, you know, taking a stance with the national anthem and taking a knee before the game.
That's right.
Helping out the communities that have been, you know, overrun with police brutality. And donating money and time to these different organizations.
I love it.
Again, we know we don't like the fact that he didn't go out there and vote, but what he did was learn about himself, learn about his people, and he decided to start speaking out about it. So I admire that in that young man right there.
I love that a lot, man. And you really you did. You picked out the best qualities in each of those individuals. Just want to provide a little bit of backstory for anybody out there that is unaware. Allen Iverson, the story that you were speaking to, when he was in high school, he was already a state champion, I believe, in basketball and football. He attended again our alma mater, Bethel High School. He got into a few of his friends got into a fracas at a bowling alley. It appeared to be racially motivated. Potentially on both sides. Allen Iverson ended up going to jail, to actually like not pretend, but to actual jail, and he spent time there. So he did not graduate from Bethel. He had to go to another school to finish out his career. So that's kind of the story that you were alluding to there. I love those choices. Darrell, who you got?
Well, I think Jakes, first of all, I agree with everything you said, and to just piggyback off your points, I think I'm going to go with the first two names, the first two guys you named. Michael Vick is a guy who pretty much every black athlete looked up to as a kid. You know,
correct.
He was on the cover of Madden, and you know, to see there with black quarterback on the cover of Madden was astounding to that generation who played video games. And then, you know, what he did on the field was phenomenal. And, you know, despite the mistakes he made in his past, he is still made up for it. He's gone out in the community. He's talked to the youth. He's talked to kids. He's given speeches. He's donated money. And he's promised to campaign for animal rights and for the rights of, you know, dogs and pets and things of that nature. So because of that, and because of who he was as an athlete, you know, if I were to have a son, I would want my son to not necessarily, like Jake said, be best friends per se, but
right.
To look at him and know that as a man, he acknowledged what he did was wrong.
Correct.
And he's going out in the community to make amends for it, to demonstrate that he is a better person. And I think it's different, you know, with, take a guy like Greg Hardy.
Correct.
Who's had multiple mistakes, really, and who he just keeps going on and on and on. He's not making up for anything.
And so to that level, Ray Rice could very well be on this list as well, speaking to the point that you made.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
You know, Ray Rice, you know, I would take Ray Rice in a heartbeat on my NFL team as opposed to Greg Hardy.
Right.
So that's definitely why I'm putting Michael Vick on the list. The second name I'm going to give is, once again, like Jake, I'm going to go with Allen Iverson. Again, he had the legal trouble, even though, you know, from many stories they said he walked out of the bowling alley and wasn't really a part of it, but it was motivated right. by race. But Iverson was another guy. You know, people black athletes always used to say they wanted to be Michael Vick on the football field and AI on the court. You know, not Jordan, not really Kobe, but AI. You know, who was it? Chris Paul came out the other day and said he wears three because of Allen Iverson. So
I wanted to be Kobe, D.
You do want to be Kobe. Okay. I'm not surprised.
Let the man finish his answer,
Chad. All right, go.
But no, Iverson was the he wasn't afraid to speak out. You know, he sparked this whole culture change in the NBA. He was probably the driving force behind the dress code. He wasn't afraid to move away from who he really was and himself, you know, and his personality, and that should be a motto for a lot of kids. You know, don't let anybody else dictate who you are supposed to be as a person or as a human being. And he stuck to that, and you know, he turned out to be one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And he was definitely a guy who influenced the whole culture of youth and athletes and basketball players around the whole country and probably the globe as well.
Right.
Thirdly,
Drake.
No.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm Aubrey Drake Graham is not fine. The third name I'm gonna give.
But have you all seen his new commercial? The one where he starts singing "Bad Blood" and so that's a pretty dope. That's a hot commercial.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, fine. All right.
We're not fanboys like that, Chad.
Whatever. Whatever, man. Whatever.
All right. The third name I'm gonna give. I'm gonna go with the fifth guy you named, who is Charles Barkley.
That's right.
And I'm going with Chuck because a lot like Iverson and you know a lot like Colin Kaepernick as well, they aren't afraid to speak out on anything, you know, despite the backlash they are probably and possibly going to receive. Barkley says at times the most outrageous things, such as Klay Thompson is the second best player in the world behind LeBron James. You know, who really, which he actually did say earlier this season, but who really believes that? You know,
right.
You ask somebody who the second best player in the world is, you make it Curry, you make it Durant, you make it Kawhi Leonard, Cousins, but I mean, Klay Thompson, he hasn't backed off of it. That's his opinion. He's not afraid to give his opinion at any given moment, and he is a guy who's honest, who's truthful. He's very versatile. He knows about politics. He knows about sports. He knows about culture. So he's a guy, like I said, he's not afraid. And if I were to have a kid, like I said, I would want them to know that it's not a bad thing to express your opinions and not to be afraid of what the public is going to say about whatever you think. So those three guys, Vic, Iverson, and Barkley are the three I would choose for my kids to be friends with.
I love that.
And we have to remind the listeners that Darrell is a young man.
So yes, he is.
You know, him going out there reaching for that Charles Barkley, man, that's admirable, man.
That's why Darrell is going to be the greatest journalist of his time. I'm saying that right now, man. I'm predicting it now. Darrell, I would want for you to be my child's best friend. How about that?
That's cool. A little Chad.
And then you're going to be listening to Drake all day long because... Because that's when Chad's going to get him, and that's going to be his bedtime song. And all
you know
this.
What? Whatever, bro. How about that? So I'm going to start off by telling you guys the guys that are not going to be my best friend, my son's best friend. His name's not going to be. It's going to be Legend, by the way. But we'll talk about that on another day. Lil Legend Ricardo. But here's who's not going to be his best friend. Kevin Durant is not going to be his best friend, and I'll tell you why. He had everybody all hype. Everybody was all happy when he called his mom the real MVP and everything else. We all loved him, but you know what? If you want a best friend, you don't want a best friend like Kevin Durant, who didn't even call his presumed best friend Russell Westbrook and let him know that he was leaving Oklahoma City. Two of them haven't talked about it since. They spent years together. They won games together. They fought, and they went through blood and tears together. Didn't even call my man Russ and let him know that he was leaving. Not the kind of guy that I want to be my son's best friend, bro. Don't want it whatsoever. So he is off of my list. I'm scratching it off right now. Now, the second person that's not going to be on that list is Colin Kaepernick. You know why? Because when I teach my son, Lil Legend, who will one day be born into this world, it's going to be that he should stand up for things that he believes in. He should speak out about things that when he sees things that are wrong in the world. But I'm also going to teach him that you also have to do. You have to have action. It's not enough to go halfway. You can't halfway do it. You can't just talk about injustices, but then not completely do your part to see against it. And also to be sure to lead other people to do the same. Because let's be real, if people all did what Colin Kaepernick did, then there'd be a ton of people that are complaining about the issues and maybe even doing a little bit, but not doing the most important thing that they could do to help change it. And that, of course, is voting. So Colin Kaepernick is off of my list as well. And then finally, this was really tough. I really had to think about this one. But the last person that's off of my list, Allen Iverson from the 757. I love Chuck. I love Allen Iverson. I love AI. I think that the two of you guys were absolutely spot on in what it is that you said from the perspective that that him being true to himself, what he did allow is he did allow to for the entire, not only the basketball culture, but the culture of sports really to change. He forced it to change with his tattoos, with his, what are they called? What are the braids called?
The cornrows.
Cornrows. Forget about cornrows.
You just say what are the braids called?
I had cornrows for a minute, bro.
Aubrey.
I was on a run. I was on a roll.
Aubrey Drake Grant.
I was on a roll.
So and so.
You know what? Whatever. I was on a roll, and I got tattoos. So. With the cornrows, with the headbands, with everything, he really did change the culture of sports. He helped to mesh hip-hop and sports, which is really what it is that we have right now. He, Stuart Scott, later on Stephen A. Smith, etc. et al. So they really had a huge part to do that. But kind of like what you said, Jix, I love AI, but AI got, you know, AI got a lot of demons, bruh. Like he got a lot of demons. So I don't know, like he's somebody that I would want around my son when it needed to go down, but I don't really want him to be around my son like every day. So that's just kind of how I feel about that. You see what I'm saying?
I feel you. Okay. So what I want to say about all of these guys, man,
yes,
and they all have room to grow. They all have grown from one, you know, come from one stage to another, and they've all elevated themselves. And that's what I'm very proud of. And even with Colin Kaepernick's situation, even though he didn't take that righteous step, he still has room to grow, and he still has room to become a better person than what he is now, and to quite possibly be a great leader one day. So
still a very, very young man. I mean, when we look at this, I mean, how old is Colin D? He's about 27 or so.
About 27, I think, 28.
Right. I mean, you know, D, I know that you're not close to there, and Jigs, I know that you were a choir boy. But when I was 27 or 28, Lord have mercy. I mean, I was doing things. I was probably doing things a lot worse than Colin Kaepernick, so I don't want to besmirch his character in those ways. Jigs, you cut me off. I just real quick want to go. My main man, Charles Barkley, like you said, Darrell, he is outspoken. He has gotten into some trouble, but Charles Barkley's heart appears to usually be in the right place. His mouth you may not like what his mouth says, but he's true to himself, he's true to his beliefs, and he's not afraid to step up for it and to stand out and to, you know, to take all the criticism for it as well. I am going to go with Michael Vick as well, because like the two of you said, I think that it's called a tragic hero, someone that rises and then they fall and then they get back up again. It's called a tragic hero.
I think that's what Shakespeare called it.
There we go. There we go. Jigs, we learned that in literature class back at Bethel High School. I think a tragic hero, but in any regard, not to double back on what the two of you said, but he did. He fell down. He got back up again. And that story of redemption is something that all of our children can learn from, because at some point, we are all going to fall down in some regard. So the ability to get back up is something that we must always cherish and compliment. And then finally, I know the two of you are hating on it, but I would love for my son to be best friends with Drake. love for him to be best friends with Drake. I'm going to tell you why. Can I tell you why?
Because you want him to be in touch with his emotional side. We got it.
You know what? I do not hate the idea of him at least somewhat being in touch with his emotional side. But I am someone who truly, truly believes in the advancement of our position, the advancement of our placement, the advancement of moving from where we are to moving on to what it is that we can become. And when I look at a Drake, that's what I see. Drake is not in a box. He refused to allow people to place him in a box. He was going to be what it is that he wanted to be, as big as that was, regardless of how or what anybody else felt about it. He's a crossover artist, and I mean that in the most respectful way. So yes, I would like for my son to be friends with Drake as well. Best friends, bosom buddies. Fine. Look, check this out. Now, we spoke about a couple of those gentlemen who have encountered a few issues before in life. They've gotten in a little bit of trouble. This kind of brings me back to something else that I encountered upon last Friday night. I was on Twitter. I was tweeting about the game that I was watching, and for whatever reason, I don't follow this, but for whatever reason, Black Sports Online came across my Twitter feed. And Black Sports Online, they've got 84.5 thousand followers, so respect given to those individuals for building such a huge brand behind themselves. But Black Sports Online tweeted out the following quote. It said, point blank, if you are black, you have to be perfect. And if you are close to perfect, they still find something to drag you down. Let me say that again for everybody out there listening. It said, point blank, if you are black, you have to be perfect. And if you are close to perfect, they still will find something to drag you down. I quoted that tweet, and I said back that this person, this account, had an opportunity to say something profound, and then they blew it at the end. I want to know you two's take on that.
Well, let the young man go first. There you go, DeBell.
Thank you, Jason. Chad, I agree with you and everything that you said, because looking at the first part of the statement, and I even think you said this when you quoted it, it says point blank, if you are black, you have to be perfect. And then that's a model, that's an essential message right there, given the times, given racism, given,
correct,
you know, the 50s and 60s with civil rights and oppression and all that. And then it says, and even if you are perfect, they will still find something to drag you down.
Correct.
So if you get to this pinnacle and you're perfect and you do everything right, you're successful, you're smart, you're you have manners, your characteristic, that's not going to work. So there's no point of trying to,
correct,
achieve your goals anyway.
Right.
And so that just, in and within itself, that tweet, the second half of that tweet contradicted the first half.
Right.
So in my opinion, you know, what's the main point of the tweet if you're going to say, you know, work hard, be perfect, but work hard, be perfect, and then be prepared to fail because you're not going to get anything out of it.
And
that's the way I interpreted it.
Because, D, I know that you had seen a bit of the conversation in real time. Again, to everybody out there listening, me and I'm not going to call him out by name right now, but me and this gentleman, we went back and forth with one another about this, because my message to him was, you know, like, yo, we get it, bro. We get it. We get it. All three of us on the line right now, we're all black. And I think that anybody else listening that's black, minority, this side or the other, like, you understand, yes, we do have to strive to be perfect in order to get ahead in life. But my main concern is and always will be not only the youth, but also those individuals who may not be leaders, who may not be as strong as some of the rest of us, who need messages. And when your message is that you can do all that you want to, but at the end of the day, they just gonna pull you back anyway, then again, that leads to someone feeling despondent, which is what so many of our people are anyway. So many of our people are like, what the hell am I gonna do that for? It ain't gonna work anyway. Somebody's gonna pull me back. Somebody's gonna hold me down. And so then they stay exactly where it is that they are because of messages and thought processes and mental forecasts such as that one right there. So it kind of pissed me off, Jigs. Tell me I'm wrong, bro.
No, you're not wrong. And here's what I'm going to do since we're a hip-hop and sports show, man. I'm going to reach and say that's the Kanye mentality.
I like Kanye. I got a picture of Kanye on my wall.
But listen, that's exactly what Kanye's been ranting about in these latest concerts that he hasn't been finishing. My thing is that, you know, I agree 100% with you and Darrell. What we have to do, look, I'm an avid poker player. I play poker.
Right.
And I feel like I didn't hit my stride, and I win a lot. I'm pretty out there, I win a lot. Anyway, I didn't hit my stride until what I realized is that I had to stop worrying about what was in everybody else's hand.
Wow.
And start paying attention to the cards that I had in my hand, and how could I play those cards the best that I could? How could I use what was in my hand and what was in front of me being my chips? How could I use that to my advantage? So basically, in agreeing with what you and Darrell say, it's like you all, everybody out here, black, white, everybody is given a set of tools that they have. And as long as you worry about and use the tools that you have to try to get ahead, excuse me, and strive for the goals that you have set for yourself, you don't have to worry about somebody else trying to pull you down. Because once you start to focus on somebody else trying to pull you down, that's exactly when you lose focus on your goal and where your next step should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I 1,000,000%. And look, I do. I want to do this dude justice here. I want to give him credit. You know, I hit in the midst of us going back and forth, he began to preach that rhetoric that, again, does good at getting people fired up, but doesn't really help. You know, he began to preach, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter how successful I am. What I want to do is it won't stop me from telling the truth about the obstacles that our people face. And it won't stop me from telling the truth about what it is that we go through every day. And I'm like, bro, like, you're not hearing me right now. Like, you're not even understanding the point at which it is that I'm attempting to make right now. I'm not saying that we don't tell the truth about what we face. My point is what we do about it. What we're going to do about what it is that we face. Are we going to sit back and just allow for that to keep us where we are? Or just to think that it doesn't matter, we're going to get chopped down one way? Or are we going to teach people to move forward, to push ahead and persevere?
Exactly.
I agree.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, I tell you what, Black Sports Online, you are welcome on the Ricardo Report anytime you want to, bro. But just be sure to bring it, man, because we're going to be here for you.
I'm trying to put you in the worst mood. P1 cleaner than your church shoes. Belly point two just to hurt you. All red lamb just to tease you. None of these toys on lease to. Made your whole year in a week to. Main out of your leap to. Side out of your leap to. House so empty, need a centerpiece. 20 racks of table come from ebony. Cut that ivory into skinny pieces. Then she clean up with her face. But I love my baby. You talking money, need a hearing aid. You talking about me, I don't see a shade. Switch out my side, I like to get any lane. Switch out my core if I kill any pain. Look what you done.
Chad Ricardo of the Ricardo Report right here, high school sports and hip-hop. Bringing to the show right now one of my dear friends, and nobody knows Maryland high school sports, or particularly sports period, than my main man, Kyle McFadden, Maryland Sports Access. Kyle, how you feeling today, bro?
I'm good, Chad. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being on. Look, the people demand you to come back, man. They want to talk about football all over the state of Maryland, so I got to bring you in for this. Talk to me about Maryland. Let's go ahead. Let's start at 1A. Can we start at 1A?
Sure. Yes. I mean, there is not much to talk about 1A other than two words for you, Fort Hill.
Right.
You know, I mean, and they're going to, they only need 23 points to break the all-time scoring record for Maryland Public School high school football for most points scored in a single season. They're just on an absolute tear this year. I mean, there's a good football team, like Hybrid of Grace, they're a good football team.
Correct.
Then you got Fort Hill, who is on a completely different level. I think they should be in class 2A, if not 3A, for football. I think the state needs to do something about that. But, you know, class 1A, I got Fort Hill scoring 35-plus points and breaking the all-time scoring record for Maryland Public School football history.
That's amazing.
That's who I've got for next Saturday.
That's amazing, man. And I know that, you know, early on, again, this is not Johnny come lately. This is what you predicted. This is what you said was going to happen with this Fort Hill team. On to 2A. Now, you told me that 2A was going to be pretty competitive this year. Has it turned out to be exactly what you thought?
Yes, it was. I was actually just at the Dunbar-Walkersville game on Friday night. Walkersville pulled off a 12-7 victory over a very good Dunbar team, which will be moving down to 1A next year, so they could give Fort Hill some possible competition. But if we're talking about 2A right now, I mean, Walkersville, I don't know anything about Elkton.
Right.
But I do know a lot about Walkersville. They love to run the football. I mean, they only passed the ball twice against Dunbar all game. And, I mean, they don't need to pass the ball. They have a great line up front. They have many ball carriers. They got Jacob Wetzel, who accounted for 147 yards, I believe, out of Walkersville's 203 total yards for the whole game.
Wow.
On Friday night. So he's a difference maker. They got Chad Gleason back there, who ran for 223 yards in the Class 2A final game last year, in which they lost to Patuxent by one. I mean, they bring back majority of that football team that lost to Patuxent by one last year in the Class 2A final. So that's been all on their minds the whole off season, all throughout this season. It showed. They're 13-0 right now, on the cusp of going 14-0 in their first ever state football championship since 1987.
So
I got Walkersville. Like I said, I don't know much about Elkton, but I've got Walkersville.
Well, look, that's what I was going to say. Needless to say, you're going with Walkersville here, since we can't say too much about Elkton one way or the other.
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, we do wish the fellas out there at Elkton well in that game against Walkersville. But if Kyle McFadden takes Walkersville, I'm taking Walkersville. On to 3A. This is a matchup 3A that you predicted. That you said this was going to happen, bro. You said that you had a feeling that it might be Damascus at Franklin again in this championship game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, yes, you know, I predicted this for many reasons as a fan of high school football and just how I thought things would play out. You know, if I was a fan in the state, I wish Oxon Hill made it. But
right.
Franklin's going to give Damascus, I believe, a game.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the athletes. I haven't seen them this year. From what I hear, they have a very agile and mobile quarterback.
Correct.
And they've got some size up front. They're always well coached. I mean, if you remember, they won the 2013-2014 Class 3A state championships back-to-back.
Correct.
And they beat Damascus, and they actually handed Damascus their last loss.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is not going to be a cakewalk for Damascus by any means. The biggest thing for Damascus is their defensive line.
Right.
You know, if they can get pressure on the quarterback and make him get out of the pocket, though I'm sure Franklin's quarterback, can't recall his name right now.
Yeah.
Right here, he's mobile, so if he does get out of the pocket, I'm sure he can make some plays. But if they can apply pressure to him, then I don't see Franklin winning that football game. But if they play like they did against the first half against Oakdale a week and a half ago, when
they gave up points.
They did. They gave up. They were actually tied against Oakdale 21-21 going into the first, going into halftime of that ball game. And Corey Slee, the Oakdale quarterback, had 159 passing yards at the half.
Correct.
On Damascus, and they weren't even penetrating pressure on Schley, but they turned it around in the second half. Corey Schley only passed for 12 yards. I asked him right after the game, what was the key difference? And he said, they just got more pressure on me. So, right. I mean, there you go, right there. The key for Damascus is to get pressure and to get in the backfield on next Thursday night.
And you know what? Listen, man, I've had an opportunity to check out two Damascus games this year. And look, the team is absolutely phenomenal. I know that I don't have to tell you that. I mean, I keep looking for a good game against them. You mentioned Oxon Hill. The Potomac team knocked off the undefeated Oxon Hill team. So they had Tayon Fleet Davis coming in there. I thought that this was going to be a game. Look, Kyle, before I blinked my eyes, it was 21-7. Then it was 28-7. I mean, every time. Marcus Vinson, 7 touchdowns in that game.
I mean, I can't believe he's only going to Richmond. I mean, they've got to steal. Wherever they put him, he will perform. He's an athlete. But Oakdale, they gave Damascus a game, and like I said, Franklin, I'm sure they've got a passing attack. Like I said again,
right.
If Damascus buys Franklin time, then that's just going to spell trouble.
Well,
we saw it against Oakdale. Oakdale actually, when Damascus scored on their first drive right out of the second half, Oakdale was sustaining a drive right after that, and they actually tied it up into a We're going to tie it up at 28-28, but a touchdown pass on Oakdale got negated due to a holding penalty.
Wow.
And that was the game right there. But, you know, Damascus was clearly the better team that night.
Correct.
But it just goes to show, if they don't get the pressure that they need to, then, you know,
yeah.
Who knows what could happen?
And you know what? I'm going to tell you this. Now, I'm not picking against Damascus. I won't actually make my pick until next week. I'm not picking against Damascus, but Potomac was able to move the ball on them as well, bro. They were able to move. Yeah, they moved the ball up and down the field as well. It's just that they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop Marcus Vinson and that Damascus offensive line. And so they Damascus scored virtually every time they touched the ball. But they were able to pass on them as well, man. I mean, could there be an upset here?
Yes. I mean, the Damascus offense, you don't have to worry about them putting up points. I mean, they put
right.
up 42-plus points a night. Can their defense contain Franklin's
right.
less than what they put up on the scoreboard? That's the thing. Franklin could put up 49.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Absolutely.
I don't know. all they got to do is score more points than them come Thursday night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's sports is. I mean, you just got to put up more points than the other team. But, I mean, that's honestly what Damascus has to do.
We'll definitely be in for a barn burner in that game. Barn burner in that game. I look forward to it.
I'm sure.
Okay. All right, so speaking of barn burners, here we go. We got the Waz Pumas taking on the Quince Orchard Cougars. And I got to tell you, bro, when I first thought about this, I was like, oh, well, it's Wise. You know, the way that Wise has been running through everybody, man, they, you know, this is a foregone conclusion. DeLon Parrish, they're going to win it. You know, John Mumu Oliver out there, you know, they got my dude at quarterback out there. They're going to win this game. And then I was speaking to Fofi Bazzi yesterday, and Fof, he brought up a couple of good points. Of course, QO's only loss this year is to Damascus. Think about it is that Fofi Bazzi didn't play in that game. Starting running back Marvin didn't play in that game. And one of their other starters, key starters, didn't play in that game either. And it was still close. So
They actually led at halftime.
Yes. So does QO have a shot in this game against Watts?
Of course they do. I mean, many people are too quick to write off QO in this game. And I'm going to interject
okay.
by saying this game will go down to the wire.
Yeah.
I truly believe that just because of how they match up against each other.
Correct.
They both have two D1 quarterbacks.
Yes.
Doc Bonner.
Yeah.
I'm going to give the edge to QO quarterback wise.
Right.
You know, I just think I'm high on Doc Bonner just because of what he can do as a pocket passer. He's got good awareness.
Yes.
He's poised for being a junior. I mean, he almost beat Damascus single-handedly.
Yes, he did.
One.
Yeah.
I mean, though that seems like a while, I mean, just a completely eternity ago, he almost did it both athletes out wide. I mean, Puffy Bozzi's going to be going up against probably Kyrie Jackson of Wise and
right.
Isaiah Hazel as well. And you can't forget about KJ Lighton.
Yeah.
I mean, Wise is loaded on the outside, but so is QO. Both teams have fast and physical defenses. Both are physical up front. If I had to give the edge to one team, it'd probably be Wise in the trenches just because they're big, they're athletic, they're physical. But QO is not far behind.
That's right.
Both teams are extremely well coached. John Kelly's got a great coaching staff at Quince Orchard. And then you got Devon Parrish, who, if I'm not mistaken, if he pulls out a win next Friday, that'll be their fifth championship in 11 years.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Since they lost in 2006, fact check me on that. It's either five or it could be six.
Right.
If they win. I'm not sure. I think it'll be five if they win next Friday.
That's amazing. Still,
I don't think you could ask for a much better game.
Yeah.
Than a QO Wise.
All right. Here's what we got. Jabari Laws at quarterback of Wise. Doc Bonner at quarterback of QO. We mentioned some of the other savages out there. This is for the 4A, the top crown in the state of Maryland. Who you got?
You know, I got Wise.
There we go.
I mean, they've just been playing terrific football. I don't know how many wins they have in a row, but can't remember the last time they lost. And their ability to impose their will,
correct,
on you. QO has been they've been in a couple close games this year. Wise has not.
Right.
And I think QO's got a stronger schedule. It's just Wise has the ability to impose their will on you and take over a ball game.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not saying Quince Orchard doesn't have that. I'm just saying Wise can do that better. So I've got Wise.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. My man, Kyle McFadden, Maryland Sports Access. Definitely, definitely check him out. Check them out. Nobody covers sports in the state of Maryland. Like Kyle McFadden.
They look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face. I've been down so long, it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face. Something ain't right when we talking. Something ain't right when we talking. Look like you hiding your problems. Really, you never was solid. No, you can't sun me. You won't ever get to run me. Just look, gotta reach. I reach back like 1-3, like 1-3. Yeah. That's when they smile in my face. Whole time they wanna take my place. Whole time they wanna take my place. Whole time they wanna take my place. Yeah, I know they wanna take my place. So that love is fake. I don't trust a word you say. How you wanna click up after your mistakes? Look you in the face and it's just not the same.
And we're back at the Ricardo Report, so high school sports and hip-hop. Chad Ricardo right here, joining the show. Josh, JVE, Lori. Hey, John, can we call you 5'6"? Josh, 5'6", Eloy, what do you think?
No, I'm okay. Healthy.
Okay.
5'9".
Okay.
On a good day, I'm 5'10".
Okay, Josh, then you haven't had any good days when you were around me then. Also,
well, that's because you're around.
producer of the R, Mr. Jaron Glover. How you feeling today, bro?
I'm good. What's up, fellas?
Man, life is good except for the fact. Look, JG. Now, Josh likes to always say that he doesn't have any favorites. Man, I have no issue with speaking to the favorites that I have. Now, last week we had to talk about the fact that our big time favorite South County. We got so many dudes on that South County squad that they went out. You had to report the news on that. Now this week we got to talk about my guy. Lamont Atkins, Ibrahim Mansere, Crab down there at Lake Braddock. Braddock is out. Josh, we believed in Braddock. What happened?
Hey, I mean, South Lakes must have heard what we said last week when we were like, you know what, we got to put them on notice.
We were so rude to South Lakes.
What?
We were so rude to South Lakes.
Yeah, we were outright disrespectful.
Yeah.
I mean, Chad, I'm expecting you to give them like an edible arrangement or something. You were just flippant about their chances in this game.
Yeah, flippant is the right word. I mean, rude is not even strong enough. I'm not even going to say South Lakes, I was dismissive of you. Go ahead.
We both did not give South Lakes their due. I kind of was able to hedge my bets because of where I had them ranked during the season.
Well, you're a hedge better. I told you. Now that we lost estrogen on the show, somebody's got to come in here and straddle the fence, and you are riding the fence like a cowgirl.
Objective doesn't mean I straddle the fence, Chad.
Okay. Is that all you got? Okay, want to give credit to the South Lakes team. After I was so disrespectful to them last week, though, man, I know that that Devin Miles, quarterback, had a big game. Spencer Alston, one of our Player of the Week nominees, he had a big game. Albert Mensah as well. The three of those individuals combined for over 200 yards on the ground, over 505 touchdowns, I should say. But the real key to this was their defense. Whether we're talking about Andrew Fanaki or Chris Logan or that entire defense, what they did to my dude, Lamont Atkins, hadn't been done all year. Josh, I know you got the numbers on. What do you have? 20, 19? How many yards rushing do you have?
17.
17. But he only carried the ball like twice, so, right?
12 times.
Oh, man.
Mansurah, he only got one carry. He got no yards. The team totaled 138 rushing yards, and 112 of those came from quarterback
Ty Crabb.
So yeah. That tells you how that front seven was manhandling Lake Braddock's offensive line. I mean, we've got to give it up. I mean, Jaron, you kind of warned us earlier in the week about their defense that they got at South Lakes.
I'm trying to tell you, man, I was with Coach Taylor for a year. He knows defense, so.
Man, did you say, look, I don't even remember that. That's how much I wasn't listening to any chance that South Lakes might have had in this game. I didn't think they had a shot whatsoever. So, you know Coach Taylor out there?
I do know Coach Taylor. He actually was the JV coach when I was a freshman in high school.
So, man.
Shout out to Coach Taylor for the win.
All right. Well, they definitely got it done out there, man. And now this South Lakes team, what they get for knocking off Lake Braddock is they get a date with Westfield. JG, you were at that Westfield game as they knocked off Madison. Tell us about it.
Man, Westfield did it again. Their defense, Raymond Johnson, they all put it together for another week. At first, you know, it seemed as if Madison was going to give them, you know, a shot. They went into halftime, I believe it was 14-13, after Sean Eckert had a kick return for a touchdown. And he scored a touchdown later in the game, which would break the game, which would completely end the game.
Right.
What play really broke open was number 24 on Westfield had an interception return. I'm trying to think of the kid's name.
I've got his name right here.
Sadiq Hinton? Hinton?
Yes.
Yeah, that is who he broke open the game at a pick six, which put Westfield up 21-13, and they never looked back.
Taking it to the house from 55 yards out. I mean, that is the type of plays you need in games that are tight to swing it wide open.
And Madison doesn't seem like a team that's built to fight back, you know,
Right. Passing
the ball like that. They got Landon Thomas, who he broke open about a 70 or 80 yard run early in the game, but after that he was pretty much bottled up the entire game.
Yeah, 80. I believe it was 80 yards of the first on their first possession, which gave Madison the lead. I'm sure that they were totally hype at that point, and they began to believe. Thomas finished with, I believe, around 125 yards on the ground, but like to the point that you're making, JG, when 80 of those come on one play, that means that you do get shut down. Right. I was following up on this game, and I know that Westfield defense is what we've been talking about all season long. I'm going to go ahead again and point to the fact that somebody on this show has been so disrespectful of this Westfield team the entire year. And so
you can't subtweet yourself. It doesn't work like that.
Wait, what? I can't. What? Okay. Okay, fine. Somebody's been so disrespectful to this West, I've been so disrespectful to this Westfield team, but that defense definitely got it done again. Kevin Petrillo had a big time game out there. I know that Joey Free also had an interception to add to the one that that Mr. Hinton had. Raymond Johnson is playing big time ball out there, and Sean Eckert, JG, to the point that you made two scores on the game. Sean Eckert is a special individual. That's why he too is a nominee for the Student Athlete of the Week as well. Westfield is rolling, fellas. JG, I'm gonna go ahead and give you this option right here. Who do you got this week? Westfield, South Lakes?
I'm gonna go ahead with the champs. I'm gonna go ahead with Westfield until they can prove me wrong.
Living by that mantra, to be the man, you gotta beat the man, huh?
Exactly. Ric Flair. Woo!
I feel you on that. Now, a team from also technically in the Northern Virginia area, of course, that is Colonial Forge. They were able to knock off Manchester. Josh, I know you want to give some credit to Manchester for a season well played here.
Yeah, I mean, we really did not talk about them this year, and that I'm going to take the fall for that because this is a team that finished.
You should, Josh. You should.
I mean, you could help out and do some research, too.
Okay.
You know, that's a possibility.
Okay.
But, yeah, Manchester finished with the top seed in the 6A South. Their 11-2 season ties a school record for the most wins. And this is the first time they have played a game past Thanksgiving in their school's history. I mean, whatever you want to say about the game, you've got to give it up to them. It's been a great season. There's no shame in how it ended for them, especially going up against a beast team like Colonial Forge.
Absolutely. And Manchester, just to your point, bro, I'm pretty certain that they knocked off Bird earlier in the year. Now, Bird fell this week in the playoffs as well in a barn burner. I think Bird fell 66-65 to Highland Springs. Shout out Pootie Carter. But
you know that sounds like a Springer score.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So the Manchester team was legit, bro. I got asked about that on Twitter earlier this week in terms of who it is that I felt as though would take this game. Manchester has looked strong all year, but this Colonial Forge team, I mean, they knocked off Hilton, I'm pretty sure. They've knocked off some big boys. They did have two losses. The loss to Freedom kind of concerned me, but I did have Colonial Forge in this game. Those young men have played strong. They played as a team all season long, so it's good to see them advancing on and in the 6A.
Also, shout out to backup quarterback CJ. I am going to try my best to say his last name right.
Smith.
Agolusi?
Yeah.
You know it's Italian, so can somebody hit me up on Twitter with a proper pronunciation so I'm not butchering this young man's name next week? He came in after starter and quarterback Brendan Clark suffered a concussion and was able to rally the 19 points in the fourth quarter to help them knock off the
There we go. Colonial Forge will be heading down to play a team from the 757. Now, we have not slept on this team at all. That, of course, is Oscar Smith. Josh, they were in each of our top 10s all season long. They've only lost one game this year. That was to Dematha in week one. And we all know that that there's certainly no shame in losing a game to Dematha. They were able to... Go ahead.
Here's the thing. If they scheduled like most teams would schedule, we're talking about a team that's going down, who's got a chance to go down in VA history for going undefeated and winning the title.
Well, absolutely, man. I mean, and that's the type of season that Oscar Smith has had. Of course, we highlighted Sean Mitchell and him breaking the VA passing records last week. So it's good to see them keep on and continue rolling. Tough game against Woodside, though. Woodside, of course, in the PA, the Peninsula District. I know y'all don't know about that. That's 757 stuff. Woodside from the Peninsula District, man. 13-0. It was a tight game throughout. Josh, I know that you've got info on a young man that made a big time play in a big time game and really showed his true heart.
You know what? What D'Angelo White did is something that they write for sports movies, okay? His father had passed away on Thanksgiving Day, and I read an article and they quoted him with saying, "I'm doing good, but I never once thought about not playing."
That's real.
Like, he was there. He said, "I had to do this for my dad. I felt like he was watching me tonight. washing over all of us. He finished with 81 yards on the ground, including a 35-yard touchdown run. He also had 3 receptions for 25 yards.
That's real. That's real. Shout out D'Angelo White. Shout out this entire Oscar Smith Tiger football team. Josh, you and I, we're going to meet back up, and we're going to pick the winner of the Oscar Smith Colonial Forge games, as well as those games between the other two teams in the VA6A. Jaron Glover, JG, thank you very much for being on the show today, brother.
No problem, my man.
Me and Joshy Lloyd will be back with your pick'em games next. It's the Recorder Report. Players. And hip-hop, this is the Recorder Report. Been an outstanding show thus far, but Josh, we got to go to pick'em games right now. We're going to pick the winners of two of the largest games in the entire state of Virginia. Before we do that, though, definitely want to give a shout-out to the victors, again, of the Maryland 3A and 4A games that are going to be meeting in the respective championships. Of course, that is undefeated, unblemished, unchallenged Damascus Swarm and Hornets. Definitely want to give love to those guys. They are going to be playing Franklin in the championship game for the Maryland 3A crown. That's not coming up this coming week. It's going to be the following week due to a scheduling conflict. Damascus and Franklin. We'll talk about the winners of that game next week. And of course, in the other game in the 4A, that's going to be the undefeated, unblemished Wise Pumas, and they're going to be taking on Quince Orchard. Now, Josh, here's what a lot of people out there may not know. QO, of course, has lost one game this year. They lost to Damascus. But did you know that Fofi Bazzi, the starting running back, and another starter were all held out of that game when they played Damascus? So maybe that game would have been different as well.
I mean, that is the closest game Damascus has had in a couple of years. QO is an explosive offense. I've seen them twice in person this season. And I got to tell you, I know that Doc Bonner
wears number 10. He wears number 10.
Chad.
Okay. Just
get
saying.
Get over it. I was right. You were wrong.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay. Okay.
All right. But anyways, Doc Bonner, he's got to be one of the top quarterbacks outside of the WCAC in the region, which is kind of funny when you remember that he actually started out at Gonzaga.
Absolutely.
With his high school career. And, hey, I haven't seen this Damascus team, but, I mean, their record speaks for themselves. 2 years in a row undefeated. I don't actually know how long their undefeated streak goes back to. They're looking like the Miami Hurricanes back in the day. But I was just watching Youngstown's boys over the weekend, and you know what? The plucky upstart with a good running game can knock them off. So I'm going to go and pick the upset, and... You know what? I'm going to stop here because we're going to talk about this more next week.
We're going to talk about it next week. And plus, those two teams aren't playing each other. QO is playing Wise, and Damascus is playing Franklin. So, you know, but don't worry about that. You've got plenty of time to research that for our show next week.
Chad, don't you dare lecture me about research. Anyways, Chad, just off topic, how much would you pay to see Damascus versus Wise? Those are... easily the two best public schools in Maryland.
Listen, I'm not going to disrespect QO and Franklin right now, but I will say I was covering the Damascus game this past weekend, and I did tweet that out a few times that I would love to see Wise and Damascus lock horns. I would love to see it, absolutely.
Let's get those coaches in a room and get it all worked out.
DeLon Parrish, holla at your boy, bro. All right, let's talk about VA6A playoff time. We're going to pick the winners of these two games. Starting off, we've got South Lakes versus Westfield. Josh, who you got and why?
Okay, well, I have got to go with South Lakes.
Wow.
Because I know, it's an upset. And of the two of us on this show, I've been the closest thing to a Westfield stan since our colleague left the program.
Correct.
But here's the thing. Seeing what they did to, not just to Lamont Atkins, but to the running game of Lake Braddock, the Bruins. I mean, ground and pound. They've run teams out of games consistently. They shut down South County's explosive offense by just holding on to the ball.
Correct.
They got bodied.
That's
the best way to describe their game. They got bodied. South Lakes put up 44 points on them. That talks about how explosive their offense is and how good their defense is. I mean, I know you always say to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Right.
But you also got to remember, Westfield is a 3 seed this year instead of being the 1 seed they were last season.
Okay.
So I'm going to roll with South Lakes.
Okay. All right. So you're rolling with South Lakes. Now, look again. Shout out Devin Miles, Spencer Alston, Albert Mensa, and that entire South Lakes potent offense and that extreme defense that they had. Here's what I'm going to say about that Braddock game. One of the things about that game is that the South Lakes defense was able to force turnovers early. One of the reasons Braddock was not able to run the ball is because they weren't able to dedicate themselves to the run because they were down so big early. Westfield does not beat themselves traditionally. I believe that they'll hold on to the ball. I believe that they will play they'll play ball control, and they will put this game in the hands of the defense and then allow Raymond Johnson, Sean Eckert, and the crew to win it late. So I am rolling with Westfield in this game, representing that portion of the semifinals. I got Westfield. Somebody's been disrespectful all season, but I got Westfield. In the other game, Oscar Smith is going to be taking on Colonial Forge. Got a ton of love for Colonial Forge, bro. I've had a couple of Twitter battles with their Twitter account. They told me that I was disrespecting them. Then I kind of came around. Like I said,
you were disrespecting them. Okay, you know it's funny how other people know what that word means, but you just think whenever I disagree with you, I'm being disrespectful.
Well, I mean, you're a disrespectful man, and so is your mama. But that's neither here nor there.
Why are you dragging my mama?
I don't know. It was so uncalled for.
That's being disrespectful.
It was so uncalled for. Well, Colonial Forge, I love you, fellas. I chose you against Manchester, but can't do it again, bro. Can't do it again. Got to rep for my 757 family. Got to put on for Oscar Smith. I think that all of us predicted and figured that they would be right back here in this spot. Sean Mitchell is on a Mitchell. Shout out to Coach Bill D. This is his first year at the helm of Oscar Smith, but obviously that cupboard was not left bare. There's a ton of talent, a ton of savages on that team, and he has coached and led them back to this point again. We're not picking championship yet, but I definitely think that Oscar Smith gets it done this week and that they knock off Colonial Forge and that it will be an extraordinarily impressive and successful year for Forge, but Oscar Smith is on a mission.
I hate to agree with you, but I've got to go with Oscar Smith too. We're talking about Shawn Michael,
It's Mitchell. Shawn Michael is the heartbreak kid. He's a wrestler.
I was playing some WWE.
Okay.
That's the reason for the Freudian slip.
Yes.
But anyways, I mean, Shawn Mitchell, he's going to go down in history as one of the greatest quarterbacks in the state of Virginia. And that's nothing to sniff at because we're talking about a state that gave us not one but two starting quarterbacks in the NFL within the last 15 years.
Right.
And Aaron Brooks and his cousin, someone you might know by the name of Michael Vick.
Absolutely. I'm impressed with you knowing Aaron Brooks, though, Josh. Look, every now and again, man, every now and again, you come up with some stuff, bro.
I research.
So you've got Oscar Smith. And so we're all on Oscar Smith.
Now with the D'Angelo White and his family situation, they are a team on a mission. Okay, it's not just winning. They're not just winning for themselves and for their community, but they're winning for the memory of Mr. White, who passed away.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, I know that we said it earlier, but we do again want to give credit to D'Angelo White and let him know that our thoughts, prayers, and feelings of goodwill go out to him, his entire family, and the Oscar Smith Tigers family. We are definitely in agreement on that. And you know what, Josh? I definitely want to give a shout out as well to Vincent Moore Jr., a young man, student athlete, who also lost somebody special in his life as well. That's excellent reporting on your behalf, Josh. So we definitely want to give a shout out to Vincent Moore Jr. also.
Yeah, defensive lineman for Avalon.
Yes, sir. And we also want to thank UU and you for making us the official source of high school sports here in the DMV area. For all of the contributors that helped out with today's show, we want to say thank you. Rodney Jiggs Johnson, WCAC insider Darrell Balk Knight, producer of the show, Mr. Jaron Glover, and of course you, Mr. Josh Elory.
And thank you, Mr. Chad Ricardo, for not throwing me off the call when I called you out on some things.
Of course not. Josh 5'6 Elory.
I'm going to have to bring a tape measure with me next time I see you.
We'll see how that goes, bro. We'll see how that goes. On behalf of Josh, I am Chad Ricardo, wishing you happy holidays. This is the Ricardo Report. Happy birthday, Mom.